You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to issues, etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love issues, etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
I might legally change my name to Christian Genius Billionaire Kanye West for a year until y'all understand exactly what it is.
There's no such thing as too much law or too much gospel. The Lord gives us all of it. He gives us himself and all of the law and all of the gospel.
The beauty of being able to point to an objective faith. Here are the waters of baptism that the Bible says regenerated you. Here's the body and blood of Christ that the scripture says is for the forgiveness of your sins. You don't have to look inside anymore.
We say farewell with gladness. May our death not cause you grief or sadness. By Christ invited, you and we shall be again united.
Wisconsin snowplow drivers love issues, etc.
It was very recently that Joshua Harris, a hero among many evangelicals, said, "Well, I'm calling it quits, not only on my marriage, but also on Christianity." He regrets one thing, he says, not supporting same-sex marriage. Now, he does. Is there a relationship between that falling away from the faith and that switch on the issue of same-sex marriage? And what gets lost in the shuffle, whether it is a famous former evangelical or the regular old advocates of same-sex marriage and their debate with those who believe that marriage is something more than we simply make up as we go along, are the children. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Wednesday afternoon, November the 13th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about progressive Christianity and the rights of children. Katie Faust will join us. She's founder and director of the children's rights organization, Them Before Us. A little bit later, Joel Wellman joins us. He's a millennial and senior instructional designer at Concordia Publishing House. We're going to talk about a Washington Post column on millennials and church. Millennials are not only falling away from the church, they're not even going in the first place. Joanna Hensley joins us after that. We'll talk about parenting an autistic child. Then, a new caliph of the Islamic State has been chosen. Dr. Alvin Schmidt will be our guest to discuss what a caliph is, why it's important. He's professor emeritus of sociology at Illinois College. Joining us to discuss progressive Christianity and the rights of children, Katie Faust, a married mother of four children, founder and director of the children's rights organization, Them Before Us, and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, "What's Incredibly Damaging to the Gospel, Joshua Harris, Are Your Lies About It?" Katie, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Refresh our memory, if you would, regarding Joshua Harris and his recent very public renouncing of the Christian faith.
Yeah, so Joshua Harris was a best-selling author back in the 90s. He wrote I Kissed Dating Goodbye, and I wasn't deeply involved in the Christian world at that time, but it was flying off the shelves. It was kind of responsible for the formation of purity culture, which is now kind of widely denounced, I guess, as being damaging in some way. And so he came out a couple years ago and said, you know what, I'm sorry for how I hurt so many people through that book, which basically just said, you should go for the courtship option, not the dating option. And then just this summer, he said, I'm separating from my wife. I am no longer a Christian. And by the way, I should have supported marriage equality long ago. So there had been something going on for a little bit, but this summer really kind of solidified it.
You say it's no coincidence that Harris reversed himself on biblical teachings on sex and marriage while abandoning the core tenets of the faith. What do you mean by that?
Well, I'm looking at a lot of mainline denominations that are compromising on the issue of sex and marriage, often in the name of tolerance. And I also see them compromising on other core tenets of the faith, that the Bible is inerrant and authoritative, and that those two things necessarily go together. Because as a Christian, you can't get to the point of saying that God endorses same-sex marriage or same-sex sexual relationships and hold on to the core aspects of the faith. That you've got to be getting God wrong, or you've got to be getting the gospel wrong if you're going to arrive at those conclusions.
What does Harris himself fail to understand, apparently, about sexuality and marriage?
Well, I think that he has fallen into the trap that a lot of people have fallen into these days, and that is thinking that sex and marriage is about adults. And obviously, there's aspects of that that are true. But when you look biblically at this subject, it's always talked about in a gendered context. Even when Jesus himself gave us the definition of marriage, which I look at these people who are redefining marriage going, are you more tolerant than Jesus? Is that what's going on here? That Jesus was a little too bigoted with his gendered definition of marriage, and now you've got it right? That always makes me chuckle a little bit. But the issue at its root has to do with God bringing the two together as one flesh. And in Malachi chapter 2, it says the reason God does that is because he's seeking godly offspring. You know, why does God hate divorce? Because it's a wrecking ball in a child's life. Why is it that he says that he's going to bring male and female together, not two people who love each other? It's because at its root, this is a life-giving institution. And historically, when we look at marriage, that's exactly what it's been. It's been the most child-friendly institution the world has ever known. And it amazes me that these progressive Christians, and I say this in the article, I'm like, what are you going to say to that young boy who has two moms, who says to the female pastor at that church, or, you know, any pastor at that church who says, I desperately want a father, because guess what? All kids do. You know, my husband and I did youth ministry for a couple decades, and the greatest wounds that children have to do with their mother or father leaving them, abandoning them, the divorce that they had to go through, whatever it is. If you want to wound a child, take away their mom or dad, or wreck their home life. And those are scars that people don't recover from, honestly. I did an interview last week with a gentleman in his late 50s who was interviewing me, and I was talking about the pain of divorce. And he started crying on camera because thinking about how painful it was in his own life. So when that little boy, that 9-year-old or that 12-year-old boy with two moms, goes to his pastor who officiated the wedding that supposedly God endorsed through some textual gymnastics that they did on biblical texts, and says, I wish I had a dad. When that little boy says to the pastor who has compromised, the Bible says that honor your mother and father is the first commandment with a promise, but you have officiated a wedding that officially means I can never obey that command. What are those progressive Christians going to say? What are those church leaders going to say? And I think that's a real problem.
So tell us about the UN's Convention on the Rights of the Child and why it is so important in this issue.
So my organization, Them Before Us, the idea is them, the children, before us, the adults. Them, all children, before us, all adults, right? And all adults being single and married and gay and straight, like, I care. When it comes to policy, I don't care what the adults are struggling with. All adults must sacrifice their own desires to protect the rights of the children. And I talk about the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child because it is the most widely ratified treaty on the globe. Every country except the United States has signed it. And I bring it up not because we are bound by it, but to illustrate the universality of the recognition of this fundamental child right. The right to be known and loved by one's mother and father, the right to be known by the two people responsible for your existence, is the second most important right, the second most primary right, next to a child's right to life. And every country in the world recognizes it. And so we talk about the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, number one, because most countries are bound to it. But number two, to say, this isn't some isolated principle. We're not making this up. This is something that every country, every religion throughout history, for the most part, has recognized and defended.
Explain what you mean when you say, and you said it just a moment ago again, the reality is that Christians cannot get gay marriage wrong unless they first get the gospel wrong.
Yeah, so most of the time when I talk about this issue, I don't use scripture. You can make an open and shut case for children's rights, for natural marriage, for working against no-fault divorce, advocating for mothers and fathers parenting together. You can do all of that without the Bible. And I would recommend that Christians absolutely make that case without using scripture, especially when you're talking public policy. But when it comes to Christians, you cannot get the issue of gay marriage wrong unless you first get the gospel wrong. And what I see from Christians who compromise, or quote-unquote affirming Christians, is that they believe that God is an affirming God and that it's an affirming gospel, that God comes to us and affirms everything that we think and say and do and want, because that's what they think love is, and that the gospel is a gospel of affirmation. God loves everything that you think and want and all of your goals and all of your desires. And that is not the gospel. As it's, you know, when I read scripture, gospels, New Testament, Old Testament, whatever it is, this is not a gospel of affirmation. This is a gospel where God says, I love you, you're valuable, you're precious, and I accept you as you are. I affirm your worth. But he does not affirm a lot, an awful lot of what comes naturally to us. In fact, if we're honest, if we want to take off our politically correct lenses and look at scripture honestly, what we're going to see is our gospel is a gospel of transformation. Every single believer has to lay all of their desires and dreams and challenges and shortcomings and weaknesses and temptations at the foot of the cross and allow themselves to be transformed by Christ. And this is not a gospel of affirmation. This is a gospel of transformation. Now, if ours is a gospel of affirmation, then gay marriage makes a lot of sense, because there's no expectation that anybody, gay or straight, would need to die to themselves. But ours is a gospel of transformation. Everybody, heterosexual or gay or single or married or bisexual or leaning towards polyamorous or whatever it is, nobody gets what they want in this Christian life. Everybody has to subject themselves to the commands of Christ. And if you're not doing that, you really have to ask yourself, have I actually met the real Christ?
We're talking with Katie Faust, founder and director of the children's rights organization Them Before Us, about progressive Christianity and the rights of children. Stay tuned.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th century. Sing, 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Katie Faust, founder and director of the children's rights organization Them Before Us, and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled "What's Incredibly Damaging to the Gospel, Joshua Harris, Are Your Lies About It?" We're talking with her about progressive Christianity and the rights of children. Katie, how do you explain to your LGBTQ friends that you love them, but you are opposed to same-sex marriage?
Well, I've had this conversation a lot because I've got dear friends and family who identify as gay and lesbian, and we've got plenty of trans supporters and people who struggle with gender dysphoria who's on our Them Before Us team or following our page. And so these are conversations that we have regularly. And I believe that Christians need to have a pretty credible and secular explanation to their gay and lesbian friends on this topic. And the shorthand is marriage exists to unite men and women to become mothers and fathers to the children that they create. Children have a natural right to their mother and father. And the way that every culture and religion throughout history has accomplished that is through marriage. And I believe that gay kids need a mother and father as well. And most of those friends of mine who are gay or lesbian recognize that their own mother and father mattered greatly to them, either on the rare occasion because they had really healthy, whole, joyous, continuous relationships with their mom and dad, but more often, many of those gay and lesbian friends of mine suffered and struggled and experienced a lot of pain because they didn't have their mom or dad in their life. And so, you know, what I say to them is marriage exists for you, not you, the adult. It exists for you, the child. And marriage done right would have guaranteed that your mom and dad were both loving you, connected to you, invested in you, encouraging you every day of your life. That's actually the incredible power of marriage, not because it unites two people that are BFFs, you know, or have a deep love and connection. That's true, but that's not actually the public purpose of marriage, and that's not the potent purpose of marriage, right? Really, the reason why all of society needs to have an interest in marriage is because it has an interest in children.
In particular, how does the acceptance and the legalization of same-sex marriage harm children?
Because marriage and parenthood laws are connected at the hip. The activists that tried to make the case that marriage has nothing to do with kids were totally naive or completely lying. Because everywhere that gay marriage goes, the rights of children to be known and loved by their mother and father are weakened. You know, when you redefine marriage, you redefine parenthood. When you make husbands and wives optional in law, you immediately make mothers and fathers optional in parenthood. So, you know, one thing that we do at Them Before Us is we try to have a presence in some of the legal battles and the policy battles that are taking place, because so far there's never been an organization that's officially defended the rights of children in the Senate or before the Supreme Court, because kids don't lobby and they don't blog. And so adults have to do that for them. But once you get to be an adult, you're a little more concerned with your own romantic and sexual pursuits than you are necessarily about the rights of children. And so we are involved in these battles across the states to redefine parenthood. It happened last year in Virginia. Virginia completely stripped all references to mothers and fathers out of parenthood laws. We battled it here in Washington State, the Uniform Parentage Act, which made everything gender neutral, and did so on the basis that it is now unconstitutional to say that children should have a mother and father. And honestly, people on, you know, quote unquote, our side of the marriage debate completely missed the boat. We totally misunderstood what was at stake when we were talking about redefining marriage. We thought it was like just about the cake baker and the photographer, and oh no, they might have to print a t-shirt they don't want to print. No. The victims of getting gay marriage wrong is not adults. It's not religious adults. Yes, religious liberty is a concern, but the victims are children. Honestly, if children don't have a right to their mother and father, they're just commodities to be awarded to whichever adult has the means and money to acquire them. We don't understand exactly how children's rights have been completely undone and upended because we've redefined marriage. We didn't get this one right, and kids are going to suffer because of it.
Why then can Christians never affirm same-sex marriage?
Because we are commanded to protect the fatherless, not create them. I don't have a lot of patience for Christians that get this wrong. I was just reading Psalm 10 this morning with my daughter. There was a couple different, even in that one psalm, God talking about bringing justice to the most needy and how it is a mandate to protect the fatherless. Do you know God has actually designed an incredible system to ensure that no child is fatherless? He has done that by number one, requiring a man to be involved in the baby-making process. And then number two, expecting that man to commit to the woman that he is making babies with. That is called marriage. And so he has done everything that he can to ensure that children are not fatherless. Now, through all different acceptances of the sexual revolution and now the redefinition of marriage, if Christians are on board with that, in essence, they are endorsing fatherlessness instead of protecting the fatherless. This is an issue that you seriously cannot get wrong if you are serious about Christ or Scripture.
How is that gospel of affirmation you spoke of earlier that has been embraced by Joshua Harris and so many other progressive Christians, how is it, in fact, incredibly damaging to the gospel and to the church?
How much time do you have? Number one, it zaps the gospel of its power. That's one thing. It allows us to remain in our sin. It has no expectation that Christians are going to be transformed. Adults in general, and Christians specifically, are supposed to be doing hard things for the sake of the most vulnerable. And a gospel of affirmation expects no hard things of adults. And when adults are not doing hard things, I'll tell you who does. Children. When adults are choosing not to do the hard thing, especially when it comes to sex and marriage, I guarantee you kids are going to have to do it for them. And that's an injustice. This is the Jesus who told us, you know what, if you're going to cause one of these little ones to stumble, you should probably just pour concrete around your feet and drop yourself into the Pacific Ocean, right? That's how serious it is if we don't get this right.
Finally, then, how is that gospel of affirmation, in fact, damaging to children themselves?
Well, it means that children are going to sacrifice and suffer because there's no expectations for adults to be adults. And I actually see this, you know, one of the things that we've done before us is we have a story bank of kids who can share their stories about how it really impacted them when adult desire was prioritized above their rights to be known and loved by their mom and dad. And we break that down into three different categories. Number one, children of divorce and abandonment, where the adults said, you know, I don't want to do this hard thing. I don't want to work it out. I don't want to stay connected. My secretary is looking really good. I think I'll just shack up with her and move out, you know, a couple states away. The second category is children who are conceived through sperm and egg donation or surrogacy, who are intentionally separated from their mother or father at conception because adults wanted something. And the third category is kids with same-sex parents or LGBT parents, where the adults expected the child to conform their life to the adult's romantic inclinations rather than having their romantic inclinations shaped by the commands of Christ. So how is that damaging to the gospel and to children? Well, because all of those make children commodities. Here's the other thing, when you want to talk from a Christian perspective, is God gave us a pretty great object lesson on his relationship to the church. And you know what he used? He used marriage. He said, okay, you've got this thing on earth, and it's the closest thing that I can use to illustrate my relationship to my bride, the church. I'm the groom. You guys, the church, my people, you're the bride. So just as much love and connection and devotion that you see between a husband and wife, because that's the expectation, is that we're going to work on our marriages to the point where there's such sweetness and devotion for one another that it's going to give people a picture of God's love for us and our love for God. And when you wreck that through divorce, what is a kid going to think? God's not devoted to me. You know, if my dad left, that probably means God is going to leave too. What is it going to do? You know, when we say that we can intentionally separate a child from their mother or father, right, through reproductive technologies, what does that say about the role of Christ or his bride, right? That one of them are optional, right? And that's a lie. What does it say when we say that two men can raise a child in our church or two women can raise a child and that's great for God? Well, I'll tell you what, Christ died for somebody and it wasn't himself. And the church needs somebody to save them and it's not the church. Those two things have to go together, Christ the groom and church the bride, that there's a complementarity there. So if you're going to mess with sex and marriage in the life of a child, you are actually wrecking the picture that God gave to display his nature, his character, his devotion, and his sacrificial act to the church. You're going to wreck that for kids. They'll still be able to find it through God's grace, but you're going to add a stumbling block to them understanding that truth.
Katie Faust is a married mother of four children, founder and director of the children's rights organization Them Before Us, and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, What's Incredibly Damaging to the Gospel, Joshua Harris, Are Your Lies About It? You can read it and find out more about Them Before Us at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Katie, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
We'll be talking about a Washington Post column on millennials and their church attendance with Joe Willman right after this.
Want to spend more time in God's Word, but your tight schedule doesn't permit you to sit down with your Bible? Do you sometimes find the Bible confusing? Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, a daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. You can listen and study anytime, anywhere, on your commute, at the gym, or while doing housework. Learn more at thewordendures.org, thewordendures.org.
College Preparation Station is proud to announce the opening of its first Missouri location, Creve Coeur. College Preparation Station provides ACT, SAT, PSAT instruction, and college scholarship guidance. Their new Creve Coeur branch is located at 11,500 Olive Boulevard. Learn more at cpsprep.com or call 314-750-5967. College Preparation Station in Creve Coeur, Missouri, and Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union is committed to serving you and to serving the church. Lutheran FCU serves you by offering mortgage and auto loans, checking and savings accounts, credit and debit cards. Lutheran FCU serves the church through its Ministry of the Month program, October's recipient, the National Lutheran Cross Country Championship. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Good for you, good for the church. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. LutheranFCU.org.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues, Etc. congregational sponsor. Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Peace Lutheran, Hastings, Nebraska. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Strongsville, Ohio. St. Peter Lutheran, Arlington, Wisconsin, and University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.